one of the greatest hymn writers, Mr. Wesley. For those of you who haven't seen our Christmas windows, please come and see our Christmas windows. We put a lot of time and effort into that, so you should come and see our Christmas windows. And you can scan the little QR code and it'll tell you things about those people and how they brought goodness into the world. But Charles Wesley is one of the ones that we have featured, and he wrote over 5,000 hymns. I think he had a lot of downtime. He must have been doing a lot of work from home gigs. So that was him. But to help us get into the headspace of a guy like Wesley, we need a man like Father Phil.
I came to Australia in 1960, and one of the things that was really interesting was Christmas time, my first Christmas in 1960, because it was hot, it was sunny. And one of the things that really was unique for somebody who come from the Northern Hemisphere, from England, was carols by candlelight at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl. An open-air carol service where everybody was dressed for summer, and it was quite fascinating to see that. But it also reminds me that carols have been sung at Christmas time for centuries. They are songs that have been written by church leaders down through the centuries, one of whom, one that we celebrate on our windows, is Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, a great hymn writer, who wrote many songs, and he wrote a number of Christmas songs, one of which we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But the purpose of carols was to teach people the biblical truth about the birth of Jesus. If you look at carols, you see it tells us where he was born, it tells us why he was born. The great thing about Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, is that in one of the verses it says, born to give men second birth, born to raise the sons of earth. Now Charles Wesley, when he used men and sons, meant men and women, young and old. But it tells us that the birth of Jesus was not about just a baby in a manger. There was a great purpose behind it. Charles Wesley in that song is reminding us that God, the birth of Jesus was not an accident. It was not a baby that was born and then was elected to be a king. It was a king who was born in order to be the savior of the world. That we who are alive today, because of that child, can have the knowledge of God through the second birth that comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The baby became a man who was and is and always will be the Saviour of the world.
Phil never smiled before I met him. What's the song that has to be played at Christmas for you? Shout them out. What's the song that has to be played? Jerusalem, Silent Night. The Grinch. Are we talking about movies now? You've just gone straight over to the movies. That's all right. The Hallelujah Chorus, of course, written in 23 days by one of the most genius composers ever. Sorry, I'll get into music history there. Oh, holy night. Mary, did you know? I love Mary, did you know? What's the other ones? Joy to the World. Little Drummer Boy. Actually, a couple of people sent me that meme this week of Mary had just had a baby and a young boy thought the thing she really needed was a drum solo. I like that one. I like that one. But if I was to go, oh, I don't want a lot for Christmas. You're like, stop it. Who's got the Buble CDs going? See, I go back, I'm old school. I go back to Michael W. Smith, Christmas Time, and Amy Grant, the first album, or is it the second Christmas album? The second Christmas album. And, of course, Compliments of Gus Seasoned is a good Christmas album as well. But songs mark moments, and great songs mark really big moments. And they teach us something and they remind us of something. Think of the greatest protest song you've ever heard. You got like a Bob Dylan song in your mind or something like that. Think of a protest song. Think of a religious song, something that teaches you something about the tenets of the faith. Think of a rock song that you get told off for playing in church. That's my entire life. And then mush them all together and you've got Christmas carols. Because Christmas carols weren't always a thing. In the middle part of the second century, Rome decided to take what was a secular festival and take some of those songs, those pub songs, and turn them into songs about godly things, scripture, adding scripture to these melodies that were well known in the community. And so we get the beginnings of the singing of songs, singing of Yuletide songs at Christmas time. Fast forward a little, and there's this wonderful period in the middle of the 17th century, around 1642, and Oliver Cromwell is in charge in England. How many people know what the movement that he led was called? The Puritans, right? The Puritans, did I get that right? All the historians. And he decided that Christmas, that had been built up over the centuries, that they'd begun to celebrate on December 25th. No, there's no biblical reference for that. It was just a date that was chosen. It was used and built up over time to become a festival of Christian people to celebrate the birth of Jesus. They decided that the Puritans said, this is frivolous. There is nothing in Scripture that says that we should celebrate the Nativity. I can't find an instruction for it. Therefore, this is all frivolous. And they, wait for it, banned the singing of Christmas carols. Isn't the church a wonderful place sometimes? Isn't that bizarre to think that a protest song between 1642 and 1660 was you hiding in your basement secretly singing the holly and the ivy? But it was. It was illegal to do that. It was illegal to celebrate. There is a story of one parliamentarian in the House of Lords coming and complaining and reporting his neighbours for being too noisy the night before singing carols. What a time to be alive, eh? So at the end of 1660, the royals are re-established and suddenly those laws are made redundant. Fast forward to 1739. Now you got a guy named Wesley. Charles and John Wesley had been impacted by the Moravian movement. The Moravian movement was one that evangelized the Americas and other areas, and they were a beautiful people because they believed that, wait for it, all people were equal. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? So they went to the Americas and they evangelized the natives and the indigenous people, and they evangelized the slaves and they evangelized the colonists, because they thought everybody needed to know about Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing? So John and Charles are saved under this movement and they are greatly impacted by that. John goes on to write lots of the theology and a lot of the church movement came out of that. But Charles, of course, he's the emotional one. And he writes the songs, and he just happens to pen them every 5 minutes, apparently. And he writes what is known as one of the greatest ever gospel presentations in a song. Because Hark the Herald Angels has only three stanzas, but contains the entire gospel. It's an incredible, incredible piece of work. It wasn't until much later on that the music of Mendelssohn was put to it, and so now you've got Mendelssohn and Wesley together, and there you have Hark the Herald Angels. Franz Gruber is another one that comes to mind. He was a good dude. He was not the guy that fell from the Nakatomi Plaza. That was Hans Gruber. That was a diehard joke. I thought that was going to land better. But he wrote Stille Nacht, which of course was Silent Night. And I think the other one that's worth a mention is, if you've ever gone and seen the symphony orchestra play The Planets by Gustav Holst, he actually wrote In the Bleak Midwinter. Isn't that incredible? To think that classical music and all these great moments in history come together. So when you're singing a carol, you're actually singing a piece of history. You're actually singing through people's struggles. You're actually singing through moments in history where these songs were illegal, where celebrating these things were illegal. So never take those things for granted, and never think you've stumbled on the most religious form of music or not. You've just stumbled on people being obedient and speaking the truth of the gospel through melody. That's all it is. I always say to people, music does not have a morality. People have a morality. There is no sound that's more religious than another sound, right? There's just people whose hearts just carry that bravery, that festive and fearless bravery that says, I'm just going to speak the truth of Jesus through any melody I can get to you. And so I think the history is a really encouraging thing and a really surprising thing at points as well. But when it comes to this song in Luke chapter 1 that Mary sings, it's known as, do you know what it's called? Does anyone know what the song in Luke 1 is called? It's Latin and it's called the Magnificat. Magnificat. Now, I've got it up there for you so we can all practice our Latin together. Magnificat anima mea dominum. Ready? Magnificat anima mea dominum. You all get a gold star. My soul magnifies the Lord. When the hallelujah chorus plays and you stand and you raise your candle up and down with that thing, do you know there is a moment that's recorded in history of Handel saying, I have just been to the throne room of God. Do you know what he was talking about? He was talking about the moment after he put the final stroke on the hallelujah chorus. There is absolutely a connection to the Holy Spirit working through people and us receiving these melodic, amazing things to sing. We should never take them for granted, and we should never just think of them as festive, because festive is just something that you do once a year and you forget about it. But fearless is something that you carry with us. When you sing the hallelujah chorus, you should think of a man who was under great pressure, under great stress, but reaching into the things of God and anchoring his faith and writing a piece that actually has carried generations. And we stand here today and we call Mary blessed because of the song that she sung, because of the obedience that came after that. Actually, I wanted to read it to you in the Message version, because here's how it goes in the Message version. If you've got your Bible apps there, if you go to Luke chapter 1 from verse 46, and you go to the Message, it says this, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. God ever given you a challenge and you've thought, wow, I'm the most fortunate person on earth. What a great fortune. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe of him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. Not even sure what that means, but it sounds cool. Sounds like something my Scottish grandfather would say, the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies. He piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. Mary stayed with Elizabeth, it says, after her song, for 3 months and then went back to her own home. There's this moment, this magnificent moment, Magnificat anima mea dominum. My soul magnifies the Lord. My question to myself and perhaps to you is, when was the last time you felt that depth of passion? When was the last time in your faith walk you felt like saying, my soul magnifies the Lord? Everything that is in me is moved to magnify the Lord. In this situation, in this circumstance that I cannot control, my soul magnifies the Lord because his promises are good. His promises are yes and amen. He is our son and our strength. He's our strong tower. He's the one we run into. He is the righteousness that covers us. It's his mercy that lifts us. He lifts us upward on wings like eagles. He covers us. There's all of those promises. When was the last time you were overwhelmed with thankfulness for what God has done for you? Overwhelmed with gratefulness, understanding who Jesus is, was, and will ever be, and what he has done for you. Understanding the bravery of these people that have carried the gospel forward through preaching, through song, through planting churches, through missionary movements, through just purely acting as if I don't care what you think of me, I have to tell you what's been done in me. When was the last time you felt like that? Now, I'm not suggesting your faith is dead if you haven't had one of those moments lately. But I am suggesting at some point it may have come into land. It may have come into land and maybe it's become a bit of a dawdle. And maybe it's become a bit of a that's what we do. And maybe over the last 2 years of just clicking a link, you've disconnected a little from the action of your faith. Because no, we don't need church to be Christians, but we do need things to do to inspire one another to do more. I know that when we gather together, we inspire one another. I heard you all sing together and it inspired me and it lifted my soul as you sang together. I know that sharing our faith one to another lifts us up. I know that when Elizabeth visited Mary, something changed for both women. And out of that comes the entire story of the salvation of mankind, the returning, the bridging of the gap between heaven and earth. Because of the obedience of two incredibly brave women. But that moment, I love that moment where Mary greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, it says, is filled with the Holy Spirit because the child leaps with joy in her belly. One of my favorite things about going through the pregnancy journey with my wife was that moment where the child first kicked. And I'm going to tell you guys, twins, that's a whole other crazy thing. And to my wife, I love you, I respect you, I couldn't do what you did. You're amazing. You can cheer my wife if you like. My soul magnifies the Lord. There is life within me that's sparking something that says, I must respond. So this festive season, as people call it, as you sing these songs, recognize that at one point or another, they were songs of protest. They were secret songs sung in secret, and there are plenty of places around the world where they're still singing Jesus songs in secret. But sometimes, do you find it hard to remember the scriptures? Some of us, do you find it hard to even perhaps open the scriptures? For those of you who don't know, on our social media channels, we do one-minute devotions on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in the story reels. And if you find it hard to get into the quiet time that Lachlan and Pastor Stan prepare, we do these one-minute devotions that just help you get a little bit of scripture into your heart for the day. But I want to ask you that question. If it's hard for you to get into scripture, if it's hard for you to come to church, if it's hard for you to do those things that you know anchor your faith and lift you up, when was the last time you said, Magnificat, Anima, Mea, Domino? So here's a real quick tool for you, just to help you out a little. A little bit of a heart check, a bit of a diagnostic tool. Some questions that you can ask so that your festive fearlessness can come back. Are you sure that God is good? We've been talking about the goodness of Christmas. Are you sure that God is good? Are you sure that you are chosen? Are you sure that you are blessed? And plenty of us have plenty of reason to think today is not good and I don't feel chosen and I certainly don't feel blessed because this is messed up, whatever is happening. But if you can answer, yes, God is good, yes, I am chosen, and yes, I am blessed, then you have understood what it is to magnify the Lord from the very depths of who you are despite the circumstances around you. It's okay if you can't answer yes to those questions, but that's where our faith should take us, to a place that says, God is good, I am chosen, and I am blessed. There's a distance between what you think blessed looks like and what blessed actually looks like. Sometimes blessed looks like a young woman standing there freaking out about what happens next, but standing in faith going, we're going to go through with this. I'm going to have this child. And God is going to bless this child and use him to change the world. I know that my mother prayed that prayer over my life and over my sister's lives. I know that she prayed the prayer of Hannah over my life. She's told me that many, many times, reminded me many, many times. And I know that many parents have done that over their children. You have prayed at the moment of the knowledge of having a child. You've started to pray over that child. You need to understand that praying is good and it's worth it. It's worth it. But in the first message of the series, Pastor Stan told us that we should look for opportunities to do good. We should look for opportunities to do good. And that's a very good thing. Have you found some opportunities to do good? Or have you received some good from others? Because doing good is a gift to you and to others. Last week, as Pastor Deanna spoke to us about the incredible power of the woman, Corrie ten Boom, that was such an incredible woman of prayer, she reminded us that it's good to pray hard because your prayers are heard. Has anybody felt like their prayers have not been heard? There's plenty of scriptures about that. It's okay. Your prayers are heard. And I know we've been quoting from a movie line, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is sing loud for all to hear. But if you're going to sing loud this Christmas, could you sing fearlessly as well? Because your fearless song is a testimony. Your fearless song is a testimony. And no, I'm not talking about whether you can hold a tune or not. I'm just speaking about that moment where your soul magnifies the Lord. Where you think everything in me is changed because of what Jesus has done. Everything in me is bursting with joy because of what Jesus has done. Mary and Elizabeth were not yet in great situations. They weren't set up. In fact, Mary's life was going to get a whole lot harder. She was going to have a child after a very long journey on a donkey. And then have it in a stable. And then her baby's life would immediately be under threat from the governor of the time, and she would have to escape, and they would be refugees for a season. And then they would come back to a little known town called Nazareth and raise their son. And we know very little about that. We just know that, as far as I can tell, she did a really, really good job. I mean, if you want a parenting book, Mary should have written one. The fearless faith it takes to follow in the steps of Jesus are real, and we should never take that lightly. We should never look at these songs that we sing and think of them as just cute little melodies that we sing once a year. We should remember that someone, an author, a writer, a composer, was moved by the power of the Holy Spirit to write something down. When you look at Wesley and the influences on his life, he was influenced by Christians that firmly believed that all men and women were created equal, and that's why he wrote the way he wrote. There were plenty of Christian movements at the time that did not believe that. And he was only a couple of generations after those bands that were made throughout England of even singing these types of songs. Can you imagine the cultural shift that was happening at the time? You need to not think of these things as classical compositions that just are sort of part of our ancient storyline or that thing you're supposed to sing at Christmas. These are songs of great passion, songs of great story, songs of great theology, songs that can remind you that you are chosen, that you are blessed, and that God is good. In Luke 2, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people. For unto us, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And if that doesn't just give you a little bit of a tingle this morning, I don't know what else to tell you. That changes everything. And it takes your festive feeling into fearless faith. And it allows you to stand in the day of trial and say, "No, God is good, I am chosen and I am blessed." Because those three statements are not about the circumstances you stand in. They're about the hand of God that holds you. They're about the faith that fills you. And they're about the kingdom that is here and now. Because he came to bring peace on earth. Let's bow your heads for a moment. I just want to give you a little opportunity to, ask for that fuel. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone here this today, even online, and you want to ask that question, if you've never decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, if you've never stepped into that place of calling yourself a Christian and you want to do that today, online you can just hit the raise hand button, or you can type a comment, or you can send us a message. I don't care how you do it, please do it. If you'd like us to pray with you, please do it. Our team online want to pray with you, and in the room here, if there's anyone that hasn't made Jesus Lord of their lives, that hasn't put Christ in charge, that has understood, and maybe today your heart has been stirred and you think, I want to give my life to Jesus. If there's anyone in the room that feels that way right now, would you just quickly raise your hand and we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you if there's anyone here that feels that way right now. Our host team will see you and we'll come and pray with you. We don't want to embarrass you. And we're happy to pray with you after the service as well. For the rest of us, if you just need a bit of help from heaven right now, why don't you just raise your hand and let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I pray that you would give us that fearless faith. I pray that you would remind us that we are chosen, that we are blessed, and that you are good. And in this season of goodness, that we can receive and accept that, and we can give it to others as well. I pray that you would give us a song that is fearless, that is full of faith, and that brings joy to us and to others in this season. We lift up our eyes to you. We lift up our eyes to you. The one and only name of Jesus. Amen.